Well, today is Palm Sunday. It's the start of Holy Week. Lent, the traditional time of fasting, is behind. This is the day when Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly on a donkey. Palm Sunday, it marks the beginning of Holy Week, which leads up to Christ's crucifixion on Good Friday and the resurrection on Easter Sunday. A week that ends in triumph and starts with the people triumphantly welcoming Jesus with palm branches. So perhaps a little story is in order to start with. It's rather tenuously with another context of palm. A magician found work on a cruise liner, and he took with him, in order to spice up his routine, a parrot. However, sadly, the parrot had the habit of ruining his show. Whenever the magician made something disappear, the parrot would shout out,
saw it, you palmed it, hit it up your sleeve.
If he did a card trick, the parrot would say,
saw it in your palm, every card in that deck's the same.
It happened with every one of the magician's performances, much to his dismay. Well, after a week on board ship, sadly, the boat hit a rock and sank. In the ensuing chaos, the magician managed to save his belongings and the parrot. But he ended up alone with the bird in a lifeboat. For the first time, the parrot is completely silent. Not at all like him. Didn't say a word. 5 days later, the bird speaks for the first time.
All right. I give up. Where have you palmed the ship?
We've been living through strange times recently, haven't we? And I imagine you feel rather like me. See, things seem to be taking us in a totally counter-intuitive way. Here we are as Christians, confined to our homes. Of course, a lot of us are over 70, aren't we? Our churches are closed, some of the doors are locked, and yet we feel of all the times this should be when our church doors are wide open. For we're needed among the community. We're needed to help many smitten with COVID-19. However wrong it may seem instinctively to us to remain safely within our homes, we must abide by the government's direction in order that we don't become those who exacerbate the situation by becoming infected ourselves and therefore using scarce NHS resources, which are so badly needed for others, and at the same time perhaps going out and infecting those around us, thus helping to create that exponential avalanche of sickness beyond the NHS's ability to cope. You see, things aren't always as they appear. Indeed, those on that cruise liner, when they watched the tricks of that illusionist, they would have been misled by what they saw, as the parrot was when it questioned the disappearing of the ship. Sometimes our finite minds are called upon to do that which is counterintuitive, because we don't see the full picture. That, I think, is part of the message of Palm Sunday. You see, Jesus sees beyond what appears to be obvious to the human mind. And in doing so, encompasses the whole picture in order to achieve God's will for the eternal salvation of all humanity. Jesus didn't come in wealth, but in poverty. He didn't come in grandeur, but in meekness. He didn't come to slay Israel's enemies as they thought he would, but to save all mankind. Nothing could be more appropriate than that the bearer of the world's burden of sin should enter God's holy city, riding on a lowly beast of burden. The Hebrew word Hosanna means save now. But the crowd that day, they weren't interested in Jesus saving their souls, but only in his delivering their nation from its conquerors, its oppressors. They were quoting from Psalm 118, that psalm of deliverance that we shared this morning, sometimes called the conqueror's psalm. But Jesus hadn't come to conquer Rome, but to conquer sin. He didn't come to destroy Rome, but to destroy death. He didn't come to make war with Rome, but to make peace with God. And the people, well, they wanted Jesus on their own terms. And they wouldn't bow to a king who wasn't to their liking. But Jesus wouldn't deliver them on their terms, so they wouldn't be delivered on his. The Romans, of course, they were a godless people, cruel oppressors, world conquerors. And the Lord wouldn't allow them to survive indefinitely. But they were not his people's greatest enemy, any more than COVID-19 is ours, but merely an ugly manifestation of it. Our greatest enemy, their greatest enemy, was their own sin and selfishness from which they refused to be delivered. On the 24th of March, the media reported some 390,947 cases of coronavirus, reported that they'd occurred throughout the world, of which 17,136 deaths had occurred. And this had created fear and panic across the nations, the most dramatic fall in stock markets, a crash to levels which had never been seen, and a world totally obsessed in every detail by the effects of the virus, the world media having a heyday. We should indeed exercise great sympathy with those who have been affected by the vicissitudes of COVID-19. And it's entirely our duty to do everything possible to minimize the suffering being caused by this pandemic and offer the maximum support for those in need. But you know, perhaps we in the wealthy West are being given just a very tiny taste of the fear and desperation which people like those refugees trapped between Turkey and Greece experience, or the 2 million civilians in the Yemen with no food, no medical services or shelter, watching their loved ones dying slowly by illness or malnutrition or military bombardment. Or and I can name 100 more disasters across the world where human selfishness and greed is the cause. Maybe we're being forced to experience just a little of their pain. Yes, and hear people tremble at the potential loss of earnings or job insecurity. Well, across the world, millions upon millions of young people have no job or hope of ever getting one. Equally, I have to say that over the past year, 820 million are starving across the world. Around 900 million people have died of starvation. That's around 25,000 this very day. I see little or no concern of this constantly recurring enormous disaster within the media. These people are the poor of the world, those for which little or no consideration is given. These are the people for whom Jesus died to save. Will the virus, I wonder, shake us from our lethargy? Will the kindness and generosity we see being expressed one to another over our nation now overflow into real understanding of the pains of the straight stateless, the yearnings of the underdeveloped and developing nations, so that we seek not so much for us alone to be great, but to share with love and equity the vast resources which God's given for all people, not just the few. If this is the lesson that COVID-19 yields, even if only in a partial way, then grieve as I know we all do and will for the pain and bereavement which this nation suffers, the ultimate balance will be tipped towards good. What can we do? What can we do? Many of us at home isolating. What can we do to actively save the lives of our brothers and sisters here in the United Kingdom? We can engage the power of prayer. For as that Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard famously put it, prayer doesn't change God, but it changes him who prays. And topically from China, the birthplace of COVID-19, that great pioneer of the Christian Church in China, Watchman Nee, pronounced, "Our prayers lay the track down on which God's power can come like a mighty locomotive. His power is irresistible, but it can't reach us without rails." Psalm 118. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, his love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever." We dream dreams of health and peace, and by God's grace and our prayers, we'll change the ethos of society from greed to love and return holistic health to our nation. Let's make it so. Amen.